Welcome back to our study of Luke. We left off at the tail end of chapter 5, and Jesus had just told the religious people that he was speaking to a parable. And I want us to think about this parable, and he had talked about, if you'll remember, patching an old garment and putting new wine into an old wineskin. Now let's pick up with verse 39, and then we're going to talk about this parable a little bit more. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants new, because he said the old is better.
This is a major problem with the church today. God speaks to us and gives us revelation, but the religious system wants to hold on to what is comfortable with. And so it says, no, the old better. Have you ever heard anybody say, I just like the good old days. Wish we could go back to the good old days. Have services like we used to have way back in 1800s, 1900s, whatever. You understand? The good old days were good in their old days. But when God is moving and God is revealing, you understand, this is what Jesus was up against. The good old days was law. And Jesus comes on the scene with grace. He comes on the scene talking about a new kingdom, a kingdom that they're not familiar with, the kingdom of God. This is what this is all about. And they say, no, we don't like kingdom of God. We want to hold on to our kingdom. We want to hold on to the kingdom of religion. We want to hold on to what we've developed. And we're comfortable with our way of doing things. And that's where the status quo church is today. It's comfortable with its way of doing things, and it doesn't want to move on with God and to be led by the Spirit of God. And this is an interesting thing, because the flesh is a creature of habit. And once it develops the habit, it likes to stay there. You get comfortable with that. But when you get something presented to you by the Spirit of God, or the Word of God is revealed to you, just like Jesus is on the scene talking to them and trying to get them to make the transition from old to new. No, goes better. Goes better. Status quo is better. And so they want to hold on to the old. And I'm going to tell you, if you hold on to the old, you're going to get left behind. Because God's not looking at the old anymore. When the old had a purpose. You understand? But the writer of Hebrews, well, let me go back up. Paul said that the law was like a schoolmaster. It's taking you somewhere. And once you get there, you no longer need it. It's done its job. The writer of Hebrews says it's folded up like a garment, put away. It's not that there was anything wrong with the law. What happened with the law was it was dependent upon flesh to fulfill it, and flesh couldn't fulfill it. But Jesus in the flesh fulfilled it. And once it's fulfilled, you no longer need it. Now we turn to the one who fulfilled it. That's the new. And so don't try to hold on to that old way of things. And the body of Christ, God is calling out of religion. You look at the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the people who came out and started following Jesus came out of the system. The system would excommunicate them or persecute them. You with me? So they had to come out of that system in order to fulfill the will of God to follow Jesus. And I'm telling you that it's no different today. You can enter into relationship with the system. that will deceive you into thinking everything's okay. Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, you must be procreated from above, is the way the Greek presents it. Procreated from above. You were born of Adam. You were procreated below. Natural. But in order to see the kingdom of God, you're going to have a new birth. Not a natural birth, a spiritual birth. One that comes not from earth, but one that comes from heaven. That's why it says born from above, okay? And then that with that birth comes a new nature. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes that if any man's in Christ, and that's the key, in Christ, in Him, not just, well, I believe Him. No, in Him. He's a new creation. All things pass away. And behold, all things become new. Why? It's a new nature with new thoughts. It's not connected to the kingdoms of the world. It's connected above. It's connected to the kingdom of God. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says our citizenship is in heaven. Now, you can choose to look at spiritual citizenship or natural citizenship. Natural citizenship will hold and bind you to earth. But spiritual citizenship, you have different rights and privileges and responsibilities and accountability. And we've got to come to grips with that, and we choose whether we identify with the old or whether we identify with the new. I can hold on to this, but it will cost me this. And that, my friends, is a price you don't want to pay. We want to do things God's way. And so don't try to hold on to the old. Now, with that statement, let me put a caution in. Don't fall for everything that comes down the tube, every new doctrine and all this other stuff. You try the spirits and seek their God. You check everything by the written Word of God. You with me? And I know in my own personal life, growing up like I did, and I grew up in legalism and was indoctrinated heavily into legalism. But the mercy of God, by my desire to know Him, drove me to study and read and read and read the Bible. And I started seeing things in the Bible that was opposite of what I was taught by the denomination. And I'll be fair with you, at the beginning, I struggled because I didn't want to let go of the old. I wanted to hold on to it. But thank God for His mercy. That will deal with your heart and start showing you things, opening your eyes, showing you this scripture, showing you this scripture. And so I decided I'm going to have to just relearn and go in here and learn not what people say God says, but actually learn what God says by studying the Word of God. That's why we place so much emphasis on the Scriptures. That's why we don't use this man's book and this man's book and that man's book. This is our textbook, okay? Because this is what the Lord says. Now, He's revealing to us, when you look at the Old Testament, that was an old way. When you look at the New Testament, you're seeing a new way. You learn and glean, and there's certain principles that you hold on to, but you can't mix old and new. And that's basically what he saying here, it's just not going to work. And so grace is a new way. Being led by the Spirit is a new way. I will promise you that in the past, status quo church has not been led by the Spirit. Not at all. It's been led by the flesh. It's even patterned after things of the world. But right here in this room, New Year's Eve, right now about 5 or 10 minutes before 2021 came in, the Lord spoke to me and He said, it's a new way and you've never been this way before. He told me, He said, you've never been this way before. So you will have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You have to rely on the guide. You understand? You think about a tour guide, you've never been there, you don't know where you're going, so you're relying on that guide to lead you into the right path, the right direction. Well, the Holy Spirit is our guide. And so we have to have confidence in the Holy Spirit that He's going to lead us in the path of righteousness. He's God. So do you not think He'll lead us in the ways of God? Of course He will. But here's the thing. We do not have a tangible pattern on earth right now to show us the way that God is wanting to lead us. We've done it our way. Now it's time to do it His way. And that's why you hear me use the phrase, new era church. It's a new era. It's a new day. That was that era. This is this era. And in this era, you're going to see the church operate in its pure, raw form. Not hierarchy, but members of the body functioning as God ordained them to function. Every born-again believer is a member of the body of Christ. That means every born-again believer is a minister. But boy, we want to talk about this and that and the other, and what credentials do you hold, and what Bible college did you graduate from. And if you come to me and talk to me about going into the ministry in Bible college, I'm going to ask you if God told you to. If the Spirit of God is not leading you there, why are you going there? Follow the Spirit of God. What does God want you to do? Did God tell you to quit your job and go into ministry? Then why did you quit your job? Be led by the Spirit. Don't try to lead the Spirit. God is not going to bow down to, all right, I'm going to do this, God, you stamp your approval on it. He's not going to do it. God will approve what He initiates, not what we initiate by the flesh. You follow me? And so we are to be totally led by the Spirit. That's something new. We've heard about it. We've heard about it for years. Just hadn't practiced it. Now it's time to put it into practice. That means everybody in this room. Fivefold ministry is to equip saints to do the work of the ministry. So who's doing the work of the ministry? Fivefold ministry or the saints? The saints do the work of the ministry. It's been there all along in your Bible, but people hadn't caught on to it yet. I've heard this so much, and it just makes this sick, so to speak. Well, that's what the pastor's supposed to do. He's supposed to do this. He's supposed to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's not a man on earth that can meet the demands of the congregation. And people are fickle. They change from one day to the next. But here's the thing. If you're led by the Spirit of God, I don't care what your vocation is. you're a minister for God on your job, wherever you are. And this is 24/7. You don't get time off. No flesh breaks. You follow? No, it's sold out to God. You're led by the Spirit of God. This is the new way. Do you understand, if you read the book of Acts, they did not do anything the old way. What did we just read about Jesus? We've never seen it done on this fashion. You follow me? New way, new day. Now, we have to make a decision whether or not we want to follow the new way or do we want to hold on to the old. The old is better. No, it's not. No, it's not. And the old will keep you from doing the will of God. I had to come out of religion to obey God. And believe me, I was deep into it. All the organization and all the control and all this type stuff that they have over you. But had I not come out, this Bible college wouldn't exist. You understand? It's high risk to hold on to the oath. It's extremely uncomfortable to the flesh to be led by the Spirit. Because you can't predict what's going to happen. You can't see it. You don't know what's going to happen. You just have to trust God. And He gives you not a blueprint. It's a step at a time. My daily bread. Not my yearly bread. Think about it. Trust me daily. Trust me daily. And I will tell you this. We have to be led by the Spirit in the office, not just in the classroom. Because there's a lot of decisions that we have to make. And I want to make sure we're doing it God's way. And so, we include Him in everything we do. Whether we're here, whether we're home. It doesn't matter. I'll talk to God in the basement while I'm working. I need Him there just as much as I need Him here. And so you keep God to the forefront all the time and then follow the promptings of the Spirit. If you're truly born again, the Spirit of God in you, you're not going to go wrong following your gut feeling. Because the Spirit of God in you is never wrong. You can argue with it, and you can discount it, and not follow it, and I've gotten myself in trouble more times than I want to admit by not following the prompting on the inside of me. After the fact, I said, I should have listened. I was talking to a man today, and he was telling me about something that happened to him last week. He said, I should have listened to the Spirit of God. Well, we're learning. And see, as Heather was talking a while ago, what God spoke to me about at the very beginning, before these students came, God said, I want, God named it, not me, Spirit Training Center. And He told me this. He said, I want to train human spirits by my Holy Spirit. He said, I do not want you to appeal to intellect. I do not want you to appeal to emotion. You lay the facts out and go straight to their heart. And that's been our goal from the beginning, and we don't plan to deviate from that pattern. That's why we make no solicitations. I get people call me wanting to advertise the college. I say, we don't advertise. Well, how do you get students? I say, well, I just believe the Lord will send who we need. Oh, they can't, I mean, that's boring. I can tell you that right now. You understand? But I believe that. And why would I want what God doesn't want me to have? We want people that want to learn from the Holy Spirit. We don't want people to come in here with their thoughts, ideas, opinions, and all this other stuff. Everybody has those things. But God is all wise and all knowing, and He doesn't need my opinion. He doesn't need your opinion. What He needs us to do is listen to the facts. Follow the Word of God. Follow the Spirit of God. You with me? I'm not telling you anything that I haven't had to put into practice. And I put it into practice regular. Because I believe my Father knows best. And I promise you, there's a lot of things we do that I don't understand. I just know the Lord said to do it. And so, I'm at the point in my life to where I said, okay, let the chips fall where they may. I'm going to stand before the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, not people. And when I stand before Him, I don't want Him to say, why didn't you? You with me? And so we've got to develop that mindset on the inside of us. And if we do, everybody in the room will become an effective minister for Jesus Christ. I don't care what you do. Housewife, you'd be effective for Jesus. Whatever vocation, effective for Jesus. Most things doesn't matter. I can tell you, I'm no different now than I was when I worked secular work. I studied as much then as I do now. And I'm talking about many, many hours a day and night, put them together. Okay? I loved God just as much then. And the consequently, I didn't get on no soapbox and preach to people around me. You live it. And you know what happens? They come and ask you. They come and want to talk to you. They come to you for prayer. You don't solicit anything. And I can tell you right now, Jesus lived it. And so it was an attraction. If we live the kingdom of God out, it's an attraction. And people will come to hear and be healed. And we'll be able to deliver the power of God if we're doing it God's way. So don't prefer the old over the new. Say, it ran its course. I'm going to turn it loose. And I'm going to follow God. Not blind faith, faith. Blind to the natural man, but very real on the inside of you. See, faith is evidence. And so, when you hear God speak, you have evidence inside you. This is it. This is right. I'm going to do it this way. You see that? Okay. I guess we go on.
Yes. Chapter 6. On a Sabbath, He passed through the grain fields. His disciples were picking heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. But some of the Pharisees said, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?
Let's just stop there a minute.
Yes, let's do.
They are in violation in what they're saying because the law allowed a person to go through, you can walk through a field or a vineyard or whatever and eat as you walk through. You just couldn't collect their stuff. You can't put it in the bucket, okay? But to eat was okay. This is a Pharisee added to the law. You understand? They're adding to the law. It's not the law. Why are they violating the law? Do you think Jesus would let them violate the law that He came to fulfill? Of course He wouldn't. All right,
about these Pharisees were the religious leaders, right? Think about the parallel here about how religion binds. Are you seeing that parallel? Now, I want you to keep that thought in mind about how religion binds, but the love of Christ offers liberty and freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now you think about that contrast as we keep reading. Jesus answered them, "Haven't you read what David and those who were with him did when he was hungry? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the sacred bread, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. He even gave some to those who were with him." Then he told him, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Now,
all right, let's look at what Jesus countered that with.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, "You're wrong, they're right." He just referred them to the Word of God. "Have you never read?" Well, isn't that an indictment against the people who pride themselves in how much they know the Scriptures? "Have you never read what David did?" And you know, by law, that showbread was for the priest only. Do you know that it cost the priest and that whole family, if with the exception of Abiathar, it cost them their lives because they gave David that bread? Saul had them all killed. But David took the showbread and the men who were with him, David ate and gave to the men. God didn't strike him down dead. You follow me? And there's some things about that I still don't understand to this day. But there's some little pointers, if I can say it that way. They're showing you God, Jesus is coming through David. And so you're seeing here David, the king, he's anointed king, even though he didn't have the position yet. Okay? But you're seeing the combination of priest and king. Here he is eating priest bread. And so Jesus is not only the king from the lineage of David, but he's also, according to Hebrews, our high priest. Isn't he? And so you see little pointers along the way. And how are they going to answer this? Didn't David do it? Yeah. Well, you got a problem with David? You follow me? The wisdom of God is incredible in the way he answers that with Scripture. And then he sums it up this way. See, their thing is these guys are walking through on the Sabbath. He said, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." The Sabbath doesn't rule him. He rules the rest. The rest doesn't rule him. You follow me? And that probably went over their head too. You understand? But he did establish something that you and I can glean from. People today put all kinds of emphasis on days and Sabbath and this type. As a matter of fact, I had two guys to come to my office years ago and tell me I was going to hell because I wouldn't meet on Saturday. Well, how stupid can you be? I told him, I said, "My Sabbath is not a day. My Sabbath is a person." Read the fourth chapter of Hebrews. My rest is in Jesus. When God rested on the seventh day, think about this, he stopped working and rested. Right? When we enter into Jesus by faith, we stop working and rest. And so that's pointing to the rest that Jesus was going to give humanity. You cease from your labors and you enjoy the benefit of mine. It's not by works, it's by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works. You can brag about your works. But he wants us to brag about the Lord's work and just rest in a finished work that Jesus did. You follow me? So don't get hung up on days and weeks and months. Paul said, I'm concerned about you guys. Read Colossians. I'm concerned about you guys. You're hung up on the old. You're not seeing the new. And that's what's going on with religion today. It's hung up on the old. It's not seeing the new. And God is wanting to open our eyes to the new, but the only way that can happen is for us to bow our knees to a person and get our eyes off of the system. And when you get her into personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, things that have been there all along that you haven't seen, you'll see. And you'll find, well, I didn't know it was in the Bible. It's been there all the time. We were just blind. Okay, and I think our time's running out here, so we're going to have to stop. And where are we, Heather?
6, verse 6. Chapter 6, verse 6.
Let you keep up with that, Paul. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Moment.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed to enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us, you keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen?
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend. And I want you to just really open your hearts up to the Holy Spirit and let Him lead you. Let Him lead you. And you're going to find that it may be uncomfortable because it doesn't agree with systems. But see if it agrees with Scripture.